Before we get to this week's Survivor Exit interview, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, our friends over at Danner, the makers of the Stronghold Work Boot. Now, before we talk to this week's latest Survivor boot, let me tell you about how when you lace up the new Stronghold Work Boot, it's easy to see that the future looks strong. At Danner, after 85 years of making boots for the unforgiving Pacific Northwest, that means their boots come with deep roots, and the new Stronghold Work Boot does just that. The Stronghold Work Boot is what happens when more than 85 years of legendary quality, durability, and heritage runs into the modern construction technology and materials. You get tomorrow's classic today, the Stronghold Work Boot from Danner. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here with our Survivor Exit interview, and we've got a good one here for you today. Just out of the game at the final seven, we're going to talk to Christian Kubicki on the Survivor Exit interview. Highly anticipated exit interview for you today, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Of course, last night, last Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback here in 2018. Stephen's going to be on his honeymoon. I'll be with Dom Abate and Chrissy Hoffbeck after the finale, so a really fun panel discussion after we get to the finale of Survivor, David versus Goliath, but that's coming up next week. Today on the podcast, Jeremy and Val Collins will be my guests to talk about everything that's going on, and then our Survivor Feedback Show coming up with Mike Bloom over the weekend. Get your feedback questions in. Rob has a website at com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that, and then the Wiggle Room coming up over the weekend, and that is going to be on Sunday this week, so make sure you get your honorable mentions and final wand-offs in by Sunday, and so be on the lookout for that. And of course, before we get to Christian, if you're going to be doing any of your holiday shopping using Amazon.com, we appreciate you checking out our link for our associates page, Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. We get a small commission every time you make a purchase using that link at Amazon.com/shop/RHAP, or click the banners or links on robhasawebsite.com to get there. All right, we've got a great exit interview lined up here today. We have here on the line Mr. Christian Kubicki on the line. Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Very excited to be talking with you, but it would be nice if it was maybe a week from now.
You know, I'll take what I can get. You know, I'll talk to you whenever you want. And if it's this week, it's this week. What can I do?
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciated. Nice to finally be getting the opportunity to speak with you. So many questions, and I know we don't have 6 hours today. So let me see how much of this we can get to right now. At that tribal council last night, Christian, were you expecting your name to be the target last night? Or did you feel like that there was another plan that was going to come together?
I thought there was another plan that was going to come together. It was a proper blindside. Like, I thought the votes were going to go one way, and they didn't. They went towards me. I was pleased to see how crazy that episode was in terms of the target flopping around from place to place, because that's how it felt on the island. So it's nice to see that validated. I was in on a plan to take out Allison with Davey. It wasn't my first choice of options, unfortunately, because I actually liked having Allison around. She was a person who was seen as a threat. Particularly a potentially a jury threat, and she knew that she was a potentially a threat, and so I'm like, oh, she might be a person that at some level might be convinced to use me for another round as a fellow threat, a threat sticking together. But unfortunately, we just ran out of targets. I knew that Davey was going to play his idol. I knew Nick was going to play whatever I thought his idol was, and Mike was immune. That's only 4 people left, and you know the targets start shrinking and shrinking from there.
Was there anything that you saw in the episode last night in terms of the way that the vote unfolded that you were really surprised by?
The way the vote unfolded? So when the votes are rolling in, and I'm there, I expected one vote for Davey.
In terms of how the plan came together.
Oh, it's not the plan that ever. It was as crazy as I thought. Like, I think that I had deduced after everything was over that Mike had turned on me, and it was kind of validating to be like, I was right. It was Mike. Because he was the one who had all the information of what was going down, to my knowledge. He knew everything that was happening on the beach. And I remember, even at the time, before the tribal council, I would go up to talk to Mike. I'd come back to the shelter. Then someone else would go up and talk to Mike. go back to the shelter. It was like a revolving door of people just giving Mike information. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. He might be an imminent threat to my game at some point, maybe next vote. Turns out a little sooner than I thought.
You were there with Nick when he pulled up that idol, which turned out to be a fake idol wrapped in the real parchment. Did that prevent you from then going on another breath-first search in this round?
Correct. It was an effective and well-executed trick on me. You could say it had some blowback because it made Davey think that Nick had two idols. And so as a result, Nick became a target because of that, but it was effective. And I have to give Nick credit for tricking me into not looking for one. I think he actually wanted me to find it at first. He actually dragged me over to that raft, initially just by myself. It's like, hey, let's go look for the idol. Let's try by the raft. It was at the raft on season 35. And I was like, Nick, but Ben, when he found it, there was a painting on the side of the raft that indicated dig here. So it wasn't just a random place. It was actually indicated. It's like, no, let's go look for it. Now, in hindsight, it's obvious, but, when you're in the thick of things, you're like, oh, okay, whatever. You go through the motions.
Going back to the Gabby vote, there was a point where you decided whether or not you should play your idol. You looked around the room, and I know there's been a lot of talk. Was that for show, or did you see something? Christian, could you give us the answer to that question?
100% for show. 100% okay. For show. And not for the show, not for you people at home. It was for the people in the game. Because Davey tipped me off of the idol, and by the way, in a way that's far more hilarious than you saw. But then...
Please share.
Yeah, go on. So I am on the beach the night after the family visit reward. Gabby's already started to marshal the votes against me at that point. I'm down by the beach, and I just finished talking to Nick. Nick goes back to camp. I wait my requisite time to come back to camp later, so we're not coming to the show and returning. I'm watching the waves, and I'm feeling the wind, and I'm feeling a spray of sand. I'm like, is the wind whipping up that much? What the heck's happening? And I feel another spray of sand. I'm like, what's going on? Then I'm clobbered with sand, and I hear psst at the tree line. I go over, it's Davey. It's like, Davey, and I'm like, oh my God, Davey's here? And he's like, yeah, it's a Christian, I'm just here in my spy shack. I saw you talking to Nick. Don't trust anyone. Talk tomorrow. And then he disappears into the night. I'm like, that was the prerequisite. Davey's a gem. He's a gem. So not only did Davey tip me off, before tribal council, Mike pulled me aside, tipped me off. Angelina pulled me aside, tipped me off. And Nick did as well, right before tribal. And the thing was, to maintain, all these four different people were trying to back channel with me to keep me in the game. And to not blow up their spot that I was tipped off, I had to maintain my vote on Allison. So that way, because that was the plan I was supposed to have known, and I needed to make it look like I sniffed it out of tribal council. So I do this whole like fake mind reading shtick where I'm like staring Gabby down, to put on a convincing show that I had sniffed it out of tribal. That's it.
So going back to that vote where Gabby decided that she needed to take you out of the game, after you got that information, we saw you try to mend fences with Nick, but did you consider maybe trying to go to Gabby and talk her out of making the move on you?
That's a really interesting prospect, something I thought about after the fact. And I think that the reason I didn't do that, because I was thinking, reason that Gabby's coming for me because she cannot see a way for her to win while I'm still in the game. But she's making this move now because I won't see it coming, which made sense to me. It made utter sense. And also, I can just be like, look, Gabby, I'm playing my idol tonight. I'm going nowhere. All these people are trying to get one over on you by having it bounce back on you for the vote. You're going to get played. Work with me. I kind of called this sort of radical honesty, sort of radically honest approach. Like, look, I know you're targeting me. And it would have made for very interesting television. And I think that mostly I was like, no, Gabby is going to be coming for me, even more after this vote. But that's such an interesting option. I don't know how it would have played out, or how it would have gotten the votes to make it go a different way. But maybe there was a way. I don't know.
So the easy thing to look back to is the decision to vote against Carl, because that's when the Davies started, working against one another. In your post-game analysis, which I'm sure you have done millions of times, do you still feel like that going after Carl was the right move?
I actually still believe in that move. I mean, the reason being was I was petrified of letting any side of the game get too much control. And that it's easy to consider taking out one of the Davids when it's 5-3. You take out one of them, you maintain a majority. Everyone's thinking that way. But if someone got too comfortable, like if one alliance got too comfortable, they would say, okay, now's the time to take out Christian. He's gone. And as much as I tried to charm people as much as I could, I tried to approach Nick, about mending fences eventually. But there are all these things I would do where people would seem to like me, but I couldn't get them to, like, turn on their allies that way. So the only way I felt that I had a chance of surviving from a social strategic standpoint was that everyone was more afraid of being picked off by the other side as an imminent threat than they were the abstract threat of me somehow getting to the end and winning a lot of jury votes. So I it was ambitious. I totally get why people would think I was like, oh, that's your game-ending mistake, Christian. I still don't agree.
The vote before that one was where Alec ended up going out. And it seemed like at that point you were in another interesting position where you were talking about maybe the way to get to the end is to keep all of the threats in the game, keep the biggest threats out there in front of you. Could that have been a move for you to keep Alec in the game?
Oh, I considered it so much, Rob. And like, because I had been in my head thinking back to Survivor All-Stars when all the threats on the one tribe just picked each other off after that swap. I think you called it the Avengers in the Evolutionary Strategy. That season was terrible. Don't get me wrong. they the terrible people early. So I was like they could have formed the Avengers of these threats and then taken it to the end. I tried to do this at Teva with all the big physical threats, but Dan was not interested in flipping a Goliath, nor was John. Mm-hmm. At this point of the game, I was like, Alec is a threat I can keep around. The problem is he's one of the few immunity threats to win. And if he's one of the few immunity threats and I'm the next biggest threat, it doesn't matter if he's a threat. He's immune, probably, at this vote. So I go home regardless. And I was like, dang it. So I do want to keep threats around, but I needed jury threats. And to me, that was more of an Allison. Mm-hmm. And a couple of other options. And so that's why I was like, I cannot justify keeping Alec in this game, as much as I like working with the guy, even though he tried to backstab me twice.
One of the other things that came up in the post-merge game was this idea of the strike force. And I really feel like that could have been maybe your best path to get to the end. But ultimately, the Goliaths would not stay on board for either version of the strike force. Was there anything that you feel like you could have done differently to keep the strike force together?
Yeah, definitely. I think that what hurt the strike force was the Elizabeth vote and how that went down. And I'm not talking about necessarily like how Gabby did the whole thing with the crying at the tribal council. I also was I lobbied too hard to them to not take out Elizabeth this time, that now's the time to take out Angelina because you can get all the Goliaths on board for it. And I think that Mike was spooked by the fact that I was trying to push to keep Elizabeth around, because and deep down it was because I don't want to be complicit in voting out a bunch of Davids and put us in put me at their complete mercy. But Mike was very good at sort of leveraging his power in that situation, where he would be like, I don't understand why you're so nervous. If you really believe in this strike force, just vote out Elizabeth. And, the Davids are in the minority, and he did have that negotiating power. I think that that's probably what led Mike to get spooked at Final 12 and just pull the ripcord on it and say, Goliath strong.
In your Ponderosa video, you taught a lecture to the jurors about the science of Survivor. Do you have any findings from your syllabus that you would be able to share with us here today?
Well, so first off, it was more of a workshop than a lecture. Mm-hmm. It was more of a back and forth because clearly I don't have all the answers. My butt was in Ponderosa on day 35. But I think that one of the findings that I thought was most interesting was this idea of radical honesty. But you mentioned the idea of approaching Gabby. That was such an intriguing concept and one of the more counterintuitive concepts on Survivor, which is a game about deception, that you go up to someone who knows targeting you and is like, hey, look, I know. And, like I said, Alec. And that opens up a lot of really kind of interesting strategic possibilities that, hey, I was already a fairly, I think, honest figure out there, and it would have been true to my metagame as I was playing, and I'd be really interested to see what, like, you know, how that would work out. Like, if people were just, like, really hyper honest, in certain situations, not all the time, and see what kind of strategic doors those open.
One of the highlights of the season was certainly the immunity challenge, where you and Alec battled it out for 6 hours. And I know you gave a lot of great information to Josh Wiggler today about that one particular challenge. Did that surprise you that you were able to really go the distance and push yourself for 6 hours coming in?
It did surprise me in the moment. In hindsight, I'm like, oh, it makes complete sense. I realize that when I'm talking, I feel no pain, and it's a good skill to have as like a professional lecturer and you know presentation giver and scientist, that you just talk forever. Like I realize there's so many times in my life it just flashed back to where I would be like out in the cold and having conversation with people, and I would forget I'm in a t-shirt and freezing, but like because I'm just like concentrating on the story that I'm telling and the conversation and listening, that I just. That's all I'm concentrating on. And I got to like use that skill in like a really kind of epic Survivor challenge. So at the time I'm like, wow, how am I not feeling pain? And in hindsight, I'm like, no, I've always had this skill. Who knew?
In terms of your preparation, I know you're somebody who maybe was one of the best prepared people who ever went into the game in terms of the amount of research that you did. Was there any one thing that you discovered while you were there that was something you could have never prepared for?
The trite answer is balancing on obstacles. So many of those dang post-merge challenges were like, and balance on this perch. And I hated balancing on the perch. That immunity challenge, I went home, I was balancing on a perch. I hated it. So I guess I could have prepared for that. In terms of things I could not prepare for is the mental fatigue that I felt out there. I mean, you're at home, you're watching, you're like, hey, why didn't Christian see this option? And part of me is like, that's a good point. But that sort of mental drain, like there were times at the merge, I'm like, how many people are left? Who's around? Oh, I forgot about Kara. Who's she going to vote for? Like, that's like the level of mental like adeptness I have in those moments. And it's hard to prepare for that. The only thing I could say you can do is really just sort of like ingrain a playbook in your mind of this is the situation. This is what you do. Very simple. A mapping of situation to action, as opposed to like having to invent some new and creative way to get to the end. That's a lot of mental energy you just don't have.
Christian, great job here today. So much fun getting to at least scratch the surface with you. I do hope that we'll have the opportunity to have a longer conversation down the road. Maybe closer to the 6 hours.
Maybe closer. That sounds like a fun time, Rob. I really appreciate it.
We'll both be feeling no pain, okay?
That sounds awesome. Thank you.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye. Alrighty, there you have it. Christian Hubicki came in, did a really nice job on the exit interview, covered a lot of ground here today. So very fun to catch up with Christian. We are going to continue to have fun with another Survivor, as we're going to be joined now on the This Week in Survivor History finale by a woman you heard with us here on the recap only a couple of weeks ago. Kellen Bechtold is going to take me on the season finale of the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Yes, all right, here we are. Season finale, 2018 finale of This Week in Survivor History. And we're very excited to bring this man back once again, the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing really well, Rob. This is the season finale of Twish. Very sad. I'm gonna miss our weekly chats, but we've had a great season, and I think according to what I've seen on social media, maybe our strongest season of Twish yet. Some really great guests, some really great bait Blake games. I'm very happy with how things have gone this season.
You don't have any Twish bots out there, sort of flooding Twitter with positive Twish praise, right?
Not that I've seen. I haven't seen any fake D Schoolish accounts or any Twitch bot stands or something, but, maybe next season, maybe we'll get to that.
Okay. Well, let's get to our wonderful guest. You've outdone yourself here today. to bring in a fantastic Survivor to talk about everything here with me and you on This Week in Survivor History. Please welcome from Survivor Ghost Island, Kellen Bechtold. Kellen, how are you?
Hey, Rob. It's me again.
Hey-o, Robbio.
Kellen.
Hey-o, Robbio. How's it going?
Very good. Kellen is coming off of a stellar Rob is a Podcast recap only about a month ago. And here we are now headed into the finale. Kellen, where does the time go?
First of all, you said that it's been a month. I was like, no way. But yeah, it probably has been. I mean, think those were back in the days where Elizabeth Olsen was still around. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was it, right? The merge. So here we are on the best season in a super long time for sure. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are loving Survivor still. Deprecating the Ghost Island people.
I mean, I think we're just an honest crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like you guys are beating yourself up too much. I saw Michael Yerger posted like, boy, my season really stunk.
Oh, well, wow. He put himself down in public? Sorry, Yergs.
It's fine. Look, you guys are laying it on too thick with the Ghost Island.
Well, I think when you are just like honest about it, if you say it first, then no one else can make fun of you, right? If all of us around the world being like, our season sucks, like, then when other people say it, you're like, yeah, we know. We already said it. Nice try.
Yeah, it's like you guys have collectively become all Jacob Derwin. so our season is terrible. We suck. We can't hold a candle to these guys, this new season.
Believe it or not, Jacob Derwin is one of the ghosts that I spend most of my, like, of people I've kept up with. Jacob Derwin, who I didn't even meet out there.
Yeah, he's great. Do you refer to yourselves as the ghosts?
Did I just do that?
Yes, you did. The ghost that I keep in touch with the most.
I think we do say like us ghosters or I mean me. I don't know. Do other people do that? It's just me.
Just another thing that you are starting up.
Hey, yo, Robbio.
Okay.
Hey, yo, Robbio. Let's play this game.
All right. Before we get to the game, let me just quickly thank our sponsor for This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. And those are our friends over at 23andMe through December 25th. 23andMe DNA kits are now on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. I recently had the chance to take a 23andMe test of my DNA. I sent back the kit and got my results, and I found out all sorts of interesting information about my ancestry and all sorts of different reports about myself and traits, including things like if I have a cilantro taste aversion.
What's the verdict?
Drum roll, please.
And I have a slightly higher odds of disliking cilantro than most people.
Oh, wow.
Who knew?
I love cilantro.
Who knew?
I put it in my nachos, my brew nachos.
No, my DNA makes it that I have a slightly higher odds of disliking cilantro because of my genotype, Jordan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the next time you come over for taco night, I'll remember that. I won't put it in the meat.
Please hold the cilantro. And then also that you can also find, I mean, there's so many things. My DNA told me also that I am less likely to have a unibrow, which was also, what a relief that was. So thank you, 23andMe, for all that information. I found out some other interesting things about my family and when they moved to Italy based on the DNA, also sorts of cool stuff that you can find out when you take a 23andMe DNA test. And now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/Rob. That's the number 23andMe.com/Rob. That's 23andMe.com/Rob for 30% off any 23andMe kit between now and December 25th. Okay. Jordan, word on the street is that there is a new twist this week.
There is. I actually just found about this twist today, but I like it. I think it's going to be fun. So since this is our season finale, the rules in general are going to be the same, where each of you get to answer two multiple choice questions. If you decide to go for two and not hear your multiple choice options, you get 2 points if you're correct. And if you are incorrect, your opponent gets to steal a point. If you hear your multiple choice options, you get 1 point if you're correct and your opponent does not get to steal. But here is the special twist. Kellen, as our guest, gets a one-time use phone a friend, where she gets to phone somebody. There's plenty of people out there waiting for her call. Many people out there on the line waiting by the phones. And Kellen, you get to use this phone a friend for one of your multiple choice questions. So you will have two multiple choice questions during this quiz. That is before our final round. I'm not going to let you use the phone a friend during the final round. I don't think that's fair. But for the multiple choice, you could use it for one of them.
Great.
My DNA test also tells me there's a 92% chance I don't like twists on This Week in Survivor History.
Well, wait, you can cut this out, but do you like cilantro? You never said, and I can't move on until I know.
I don't think so. No, not really.
Does it taste like soap or like deliciousness? I think that's what it is, right?
It's common. Like, I have a lot of friends who can't eat cilantro because it just ruins whatever food they're eating.
My dad hates it. Me, brother, mom, love it. Love the cilantro.
Okay. All right. Well, those are types of things that you could find out. I guess you could just do a cilantro test, but I guess this is, say, it cuts out the middleman.
Don't do that. Order gifts for all people in your family. 23andMe, great last minute gift. It will be to your house so quickly. Fill up those stockings, everyone.
Okay. All right. So
cilantro.
All right. Let's last twist of the year. We can't let it go off the rails this early. Okay. All right, Jordan. What are the categories?
Okay, so the four categories that we have old school camp life, marriage of inconvenience, Albert of my own fate, and one for the nail mails. So, Kellen, as the guest, you get to pick a category first.
Okay. And Kellen, are you excited that we added this phone a friend twist here to give you some more comfort to come and appear on This Week in Survivor History?
Yes, I have to say to all the RHAP fans out there, I am nervous that I'm going to, like, if I blow all the questions, everyone's going to think I'm a fraud, that I was somehow a recruit, that I really wasn't a fan somehow. So I like really want to do a good job. And this phone a friend, I have a few people on the line ready when I like know which season it is and what question, and then we'll see who I give a call.
Do you have a person
from
each season that Jordan might bring up?
Yes, I did. I do have that.
Yeah. Kellen texted me the other day, I'm going to study and I'm going to watch every, you don't have to study.
I did not study. I did not have time. Unfortunately, I was hoping I would be able to prioritize this very heavy responsibility. I did not have time. So we're going
just
for
have
it.
18 episodes of Survivor to watch this week.
But yes. Okay. I'm ready. Do I get to choose first or do you get to choose first?
You're the guest. You get to choose the category first. And what I'll do, I'll read the question, and then just like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, if you would like to use your phone a friend on your first question, you could use it. And then if not, you could use it on your second question.
Okay. Well, I am going to, because some of you know, I'm a huge Keith Nail fan. So I'm going to go with Nail My Nails, or what was it?
It was one for the nail mails. And
one for the nail mail.
One for the nail mails. We're going to Survivor Cambodia. This is the episode Villains Have More Fun from December 9th, 2015, 3 years ago this past Sunday. After Keith won the challenge to go to the Cambodian temple, he had some trouble articulating how he chose who went with him on the reward. Who coined the phrase Keith Nail Logic once he finally explained his decision? So you can
question. Well, I'm feeling confused because I think it's Keith Nail himself, but then that seems silly. But I'm going to go for it. I think Keith Nail coined the term Keith Nail Logic. Spencer is my second guess, but I'm going to go with Keith Nail.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
And that is unfortunately incorrect. Rob, Kellen went for two, so you get a chance to steal the point here.
Oh, and then I gave him my second guess.
Yeah, I think I could hear Spencer in his voice saying, oh, that sounds like some Keith Nail logic. So I will say Spencer.
So, Rob, I don't really appreciate you making fun of Spencer's voice, being that a lot of people think we have the same voice, but it actually was not Spencer Bledsoe here.
Jeremy?
It was Kelly Wentworth.
Oh!
Great friend of Rob has a podcast.
Helen's favorite.
Alumni of the Miss Survivor competition. So neither of you get a point there, but it is Rob's turn for a question. So, Rob, we have three categories left. We have Albert of My Own Fate, Marriage of Inconvenience, and Old School Camp Life.
We'll go with Marriage of Inconvenience.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Africa, Dinner, Movie, and a Betrayal from December 13th, 2001, 17 years ago today. One of the most memorable scenes of Survivor Africa was the unlikely pairing of Brandon and Frank at the makeshift Survivor movie theater. What movie did they watch on their quote-unquote date?
Can I call Kellen's friend?
You cannot call Kellen's friend. This is possibly an unfair advantage here for Kellen, but you don't have the phone a friend.
Oh.
But you can hear the multiple choice options though to make it a little bit.
I'm going to actually go ahead and say I believe it's the live action version of the Lion King. No, I'm joking. It didn't come out yet.
I thought so.
I believe they watched the film Out of Africa.
Out of Africa is correct.
That is right. Oh.
I was really hoping to go to the fake answer to the multiple choice here because answer D was Santa's Summer House, which is not it. Starring Wu Wong. So Rob, you have a 2-point lead here. Kellen, you get to choose between Old School Camp Life and Albert of My Own Fate. And this is the last question where you're able to use your phone a friend if you choose to do it. So which category do you want first?
I'm going to go to Old School Camp Life.
Okay, so Old School Camp Life. Who had a boil on his neck, which he likened to growing a beast-like horn? From fun fact, approximately a minute and a half of airtime was devoted to this boil. So, Kellen, you didn't use your phone a friend on the first question. So
no,
you
but I am going to this time.
Yeah, who are you going to choose? You have many people on standby. You have Richard Hatch, just in case a Borneo question came up. You have Jeff Probst.
Chris Noble. You know,
general knowledge.
Chris Noble
is on the line.
I have
Cowsley.
My Aunt Janet. I have an Aunt Janet who loves Survivor.
Aunt Janet
is on the phone, but I do think that this is a time where my brother really got involved and fell in love with Survivor. So I love to call Brother Clay and see if he happens to be available. It's a little late on the East Coast, so he actually might not be. He might have to get up early to take care of the chickens. But we should try it out.
Okay.
Right, so, Brother Clay, we have Brother Clay on the line. Now, let's patch him in.
Okay.
Let's see if he's available.
This is a Twitch first. Let's see how this works.
First.
Okay. Clay. Clay, are you there?
You have reached the voicemail box of 260-57. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey Clay, this is Jordan from This Week in Survivor History. Kellen needs your help with the Survivor Africa question. So please, if you can give us a call when you get this message, that would be great. Hope you're enjoying the season. Love you, bae.
Love you, Clay. Okay. Okay. All right. So sorry, Kellen.
Oh.
Your
After
phone
all
friend
this,
did
you
not
leave
work.
Me hanging? Okay, well, luckily, as you were bringing Clay on the line, he must have telepathically sent me the answer because the person, is it okay if I answer now?
Sure.
If you answer
the
now,
person,
I
know who it is. Straight up, don't need the options. It is Big Tom. Happy boy on his neck.
Is absolutely correct. Kellen, you get 2 points there to tie the game up. Really, really funny scene where Tom has this big boil, like I said in the question, coming out of his neck. They start showing like a rhino and a bunch of these other like gazelle type animals with horns, and he starts pretending to be an animal, and they're really just talking about how disgusting it looks. So really, really funny scene here. Great. This is a really fun episode of Survivor. I love this where it's the Survivor Africa Final 8, if you ever get a chance to rewatch that one. So good job, Kellen. You tied the game. Rob, there is one question left, and we're going to Albert of My Own Fate.
Love Big Tom also, by the way.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
Well, the Big funny Tom. Thing is that Clay didn't answer. Clay had met one survivor at a NASCAR race. years ago before he got me into the show, and it was Big Tom. Oh, Brother wow. Clay has met Big Tom, so he would have known the answer. Just too bad he didn't pick up.
Too bad.
So sad, actually.
All right, so we're going to go to Albert of My Own Fate. We're going to Survivor South Pacific. Then There Were Five from December 14th, 2011, 7 years ago tomorrow. After Brandon gave Albert the immunity necklace at the first iteration of the South Pacific Final Five, who did Albert vote for at Tribal Council?
Let me hear the choices.
Okay, multiple choice options. So this will block Helen from being able to steal a point. We have A, Brandon, B, Coach, C, Rick, D, Sophie.
Okay. I'm going to go with the person I was going to guess. I'm going to go with Rick.
Rick is incorrect. So good decision choosing the options there. It was actually Sophie. Brandon and Albert both voted for Sophie here. Albert pulled, did the whole.
Did
the
you
whole
know that one, Callan?
No, I did not.
So yeah, Brandon wanted Sophie out of the game, and Albert kind of did the whole thing where once he got the immunity necklace, he sort of faked the fact that he didn't think that that Brandon was in mm-hmm. trouble with going home, which is why I think to this day Brandon is not so happy with Albert. But yeah, they both voted for Sophie here. Even though he voted for Sophie, I think he probably knew that Brandon was going home once he gave up the idol. So Rob, you don't get a point there. It is 2-2 going into the final round, and this game, we're calling it one, both, or neither. I believe it is a game that we've played on This Week in Survivor History before, but it was a while ago, so I'm just going to go over the rules again. Potentially a somewhat confusing game, which is par for the course here. So I am going to give a statement for each. We're going to do the whole thing where you choose a random number and that decides the order. But I'm going to give a statement, and I'm just going to give an example of how this game is going to work, just so I could so it's easier to understand. So the statement could be something like this: 16 people started on this season, and then I'll give you four options. They could be like only Borneo, only the Australian Outback, both, or neither. And since this statement, 16 people started on the season, applies to both of those seasons, Borneo and the Australian Outback, the answer would be both. However, if I said Ghost Island and Borneo, then the answer would be only Borneo, because the statement only applies to one. And if it didn't apply to either season, the answer would be neither. So
let me just go to Kellen real quick. Kellen, how much do you regret coming on This Week in Survivor History right now?
I do not regret it at all. The only thing is I'm like feeling major guilt that my brother didn't answer. So that's all. He texted me. He said, I answered, but I couldn't hear anyone. So now I just feel bad. But other than that, I feel great because we're tied. We're going to the final round, and I may be able to kick your butt on the last episode of Twitch.
Maybe. Okay.
So, some good, some bad. Highs and lows of Survivor. That's just how it goes.
And you get the rules, right? I know somewhat of a complicated.
Funny thing is, Jordan, I may not be a genius, but I think I understood it from one, both, or neither.
Yeah.
But thank you, just in case.
Yeah, a little self-explanatory.
Okay, well, no, I thought, look, people have had issues with the rules here before. I thought this was one of the more complicated games. Maybe not.
Now I feel bad. Now I've hurt my brother's feelings. Now I've hurt Jordan Kalish's feelings.
Yeah, hurt my feelings. You haven't hurt my feelings.
He's got
my feelings are not hurt. Very thick skin. So you get to pick a number, Kellen, from fan. 1 through 6, and this will decide the order for this tiebreaker round. And as always, there will be four answers given during this quiz. If you get one wrong, you don't get to answer unless we go to a tiebreaker. So either player can score up to 3 points in this final round.
Okay. So, I will choose to start with, I will go with lucky number 3, please.
Okay. Number 3. So the statement is Abby Maria was voted out unanimously. The choices are only Philippines, only Cambodia, both, or neither.
On Cambodia, I don't think it was unanimous because Keith was left out of that vote, maybe. Maybe that's not right. I feel like someone was left out of the Abby Maria vote in Second Chances. Maybe, fudge, hold on, let me think. I will say, so it's either Cambodia, Philippines, or both, right?
Well, both or neither.
I will say it was not unanimous for either one.
So neither.
Well, now I feel like, go ahead. Dang it, it was only the Philippines.
No, the answer was actually only Cambodia. So she was voted out unanimously in the Philippines. It was the final five. Everybody voted for her except for her. And the Cambodia was the final seven, where Kelly and Keith voted for Tasha and Abby voted for Keith. So the answer was neither, which means that, Rob, if you're able to get this last one here, you win. If not, we keep going.
Okay.
And Rob, based on this order again, I think this is the second week in a row where this has happened, where you're going to get one where Guatemala is involved. A male juror was the lone dissenter, a.k.a. the only person who did not vote for the winner at final tribal council. The choices are only Pearl Islands, only Guatemala, both or neither.
So a male was the only person that screwed up the unanimous vote for the winner, is the question?
The winner, correct. Okay. Correct.
I believe that Tawana voted for Lil, and so I don't think that that was true in Pearl Islands. And did the one vote for Stephanie? I feel like was it Rafe? Yeah, I think he was a little. So I will say it was only in Guatemala. I just want to make sure that's my facts. I just want to make sure I hear the question again so I can say it correctly. Which answer?
I can read it again. A male juror was the lone dissenter, a.k.a. the only person who did not vote for the winner at final tribal council.
I'll say only in Guatemala.
Okay, so only Guatemala is your answer. Some would argue that only Guatemala is the motto of the Twitch Survivor quiz.
Yeah.
And Rob, you are correct. Tawana was the one who voted for Lil in the Pearl Islands, and Rafe did vote for Stephanie, and these were both 6-1 votes. So Rob, you win the quiz here. You get the point. You win by a score of 3-2. Very close matchup. And I think that was maybe the rules weren't as difficult as I thought. With that quiz, but maybe some tough questions there. But great job by both of you.
Kellen.
I hate losing. I'm so mad about it too, because I was right on the Cambodia thing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Keith was left out of the vote, right? I said that. I at least got part of it right. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, are you really though, Rabio?
I want you to have a fun experience.
I don't think so.
I want this to be as fun as when you were gambling with the person, your coworker, about whose jacket it was, and I hope we didn't let you down.
No, you didn't let me down at all. I had a great time, and I actually am super proud of myself for remembering that thing about Africa, because I was so nervous about the older seasons. I was just like, it's just going to be a wash. I'm not going to remember about any of that stuff. But hey, I got an old school season question right, so I'll take it. I'll take it as a win.
You did it. You did it.
Is, yeah.
And who could forget? They like showed all of that stuff like gushing out of his neck.
Yeah, I think it was Brandon said that you could fill a shot glass with the stuff coming out. I'm sorry for that. Yeah. Sorry for that image, but it is something.
All these women are poking and prodding me.
Wait, Big Tom, are you on the Twitch quiz now? Maybe Big Tom could have been.
I lived with Big Tom for the better part of 12 days. Okay,
I was watching. But Kellen, I think you'd be happy to know here. So during that Africa Tribal Council, the final eight, where Brandon is voted out, the word gut, and this was actually going to be the double time. The word gut was said 5 times during this tribal council. We didn't end up getting to this question, but Lex said, and I think this might resonate with you, the single biggest factor I take into consideration when voting is my gut. My gut still doesn't lie, because my gut is pretty damn accurate.
Exactly. Lex's belly seems worse to think about than mine, I think, right? So you're welcome, everybody.
His gut caused him that final immunity challenge.
Yeah, he then literally had some gastrointestinal issues. So that's a different gut. But Kellen, thank you so much for coming on with us. Follow the great Kellen Bechtold at KS Bechto.
Woo-hoo! You're not going to ring the bell after that, Rob? KS Bechto. Ding, ding.
Talking about Twitter, Kellen, who's the first survivor you followed on Twitter, if you had to guess?
Oh, you know who it is?
Of course I know who it is.
That's awesome. The first survivor I followed, oh no, is it Joey Amazing, like so basic bitch?
It is not. It's actually somebody from your own season. It's James Legend. James Lim, who was a great guest.
James Lim
on RHAP. Yeah. Did you like make your Twitter like right after Survivor or something?
No, I have had my Twitter for a long time, but I was not active on it at all until I went on the show. So
okay, yeah. So James Lim is one, and then it's Fishback 2 and Rob 3, and then Tasha Fox.
Oh, see, that was good, and that's very surprising. Not that I love James. I do love you, bae, but I would have never guessed that James was the first one. I definitely thought it was going to be Basic Bitch Joy Amazing first, and I would have felt so exposed.
All I could think about was Joe's body.
No, that was your number four, Tasha. Okay. All right. Kellen, thank you so much. Happy holidays, Kellen.
Oh, happy holidays to both of you and all the RHAP listeners. It's so fun to just listen and still be a fan, as always. I can't believe I'm here bombing the quiz against Rob.
You didn't bomb the
Twitch
quiz.
I would say with Jordan.
Look, you tie. Well, how many points did Jacob Derwin get on here? I think it was it one or two? I mean, he lost also, but I feel like you and Jacob are sort of vying for like the best Ghost Island appearance on Twitch history. It might have to be decided in some sort of a showdown between the two of you, maybe coming up next season. But we'll see. But yes, Kellen, happy holidays to you too, and thank you so much for coming on the quiz.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays. You take care.
Okay, take care, Kellen. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor History Quiz, we're going to go out on a high note here and close out 2018 with a win in this week in Survivor History Quiz. Thanks so much to Jordan Kalish for all of his hard work and putting up with a lot of abuse from yours truly here in 2018. Looking forward to getting back into it next season once again. But we still have a lot of work here to do in Survivor David versus Goliath, as I'm going to reconnect with Jeremy and Val on our recap podcast later on tonight. And then over the weekend, it's another highlight of the season. Mike Bloom on the Survivor Feedback Show. Get your feedback questions in for Mixmaster Mike Bloom on the Feedback Show. Really looking forward to that one. And then, of course, the Wiggle Room coming up over the weekend as well. So be on the lookout also that Wiggle Room is going to be on Sunday, recorded on Sunday this week. So don't wait to get those wand offs in. Hope you guys enjoyed our conversation with Christian and this week in Survivor History. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.